The following is a ray gun armed, faster than light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. Hello and welcome to the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. We are up to episode number 8 for Thursday, October 20th, 2011. From Wausau, Wisconsin, I am the Inter Dave, and from the Fox Valley, someplace in Wisconsin. If you're not from Wisconsin, you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Explain the Fox Valley, Matt.
So I've never been asked this question. It's like a grouping of cities that span from Green Bay down to Fond du Lac. It's like just city after city. It's actually a pretty rad area to live in. Being from Sheboygan, which is like the armpit of the state.
Yes, it is.
Moving to a real city is... I always said, like, I'm going to move to a real city. I'm going to do all sorts of sweet stuff. I sit at home just as much as I did when I lived in Sheboygan.
And the Fox Valley follows the Fox River, right?
Correct. I think that might be. I don't know. I've only lived here for like a year. Don't put me on the spot.
Do your research.
I'd have to ask what's-her-face because she was born and raised here. But that would make sense that it's follows the Fox River and there's just all sorts of stuff here.
And when you say what's her face, you mean your fiance?
Yes.
Let's just make that clear.
She's a woman. She doesn't deserve a name.
Oh wow!
I'm kidding.
Okay, that's gonna that's gonna get some emails.
Yeah, I figured someone just got real upset. So.
GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. Hey, we'll take all the input, all the feedback we can get. I don't care if it's about the movie, if it's about something that we said.
You're gonna want to get a new co-host, otherwise I'm gonna stop watching.
Okay.
Good riddance.
All right, so this is the podcast where we watch a science fiction movie or TV show, then we talk about it, and then we do a quiz at the end, see how much you learn from it. And when I say you, I mean you, the listener, and you, Matt Stein.
That's me.
Because I'm kind of the expert. I'm kind of like the professor. I'm the teacher. I'm the, what's another word for teacher?
Proctor? No, that's when you give a test. Teacher, professor. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the head guy. I know what's going on. You guys don't. You may know what's going on a little bit, but I know more than... Okay. Let's just carry on. All right, let's do this. School is in session. And our assignment this week was the 2010 movie Tron Legacy. Haven't done a new movie for a while. This is pretty cool. And neither of us had seen this. And I will reserve my judgment until the very end of the podcast. Although I do have strong feelings about this movie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you better watch out. All right, it's a sequel to the 1982 film Tron with Jeff Bridges reprising his role as Kevin Flynn and Clue, with Bruce Boxleitner back as Alan Bradley, and Tron also starring Garrett Hedlund as Sam Flynn, Olivia Wilde as Korra, and Daft Punk. They did the music, and they were the DJs in that club scene.
That makes sense.
I dug the music in this film.
We'll figure.
I'm guessing that you didn't dig the music.
It was fitting, but I mean, you know me. I'm not into all that acid punk, whatever it's called, techno rave.
Techno
stuff.
Rave. What's the newest one? It's called.
Ugh, don't even say it.
Dubstep.
I love. Yeah, I think I like that's the dumbest music in the world, but that's a different podcast.
All right. Okay, so this movie, directed by Joseph Kosinski, it was his first full-length feature film. And the only movie he had done was a short film as a prequel to this film. So it was a film that he directed for Comic-Con in San Diego a couple years before they actually released this film as kind of a teaser to that Tron is coming back. So he was a brand new director. Hadn't ever done a movie ever.
Huh.
Which I thought...
I don't know. He did a very good job. Like, I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah. No. So. No, he's off to a promising start. It was distributed by Disney Studios, rated PG, released December 17th, 2010, made on a budget of $170 million, and it grossed $400 and million. No, there's no and. $400 million. That's a lot.
Yeah, no, it's a ridiculous amount of money. But are you really that surprised that it made that much money?
No, no, And I was surprised that I had never seen it until this week. I'd wanted to see it. I was kind of into Tron, the first one, when it first came out back in the 80s before you were born. But I don't know why. I just never saw it until this week, and I'm glad I did.
No, I agree. And like I told you last week, I'd been wanting to see this movie. It's just I never had any sort of real push to do so.
You never had a strong desire to.
I wouldn't say a strong desire. I just never had a reason to watch it.
Okay, yeah. And, no, I'm the same way with a lot of films. I really have to want to see something to see it.
I agree.
If I happen to find something cool on Netflix, like I just discovered that the Kevin Smith film Red State is now available on Netflix.
Oh.
Which I instantly put in my queue to watch. I'm going to probably watch it on Halloween.
I'm going to go put that in mine right now, too.
All right. Well, it's not like any Kevin Smith film you've ever seen. It's a horror film.
I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So let's do the review. So in your own words, Matt, explain the story of Tron Legacy.
So it starts out in 88, which was when the first movie was from, or 89.
No. The first movie was from 82. So this it starts.
Oh, okay.
It starts out a few years after the first movie.
Fine, whatever, Dave. Get off my back. So it starts out with Jeff Bridges talking to his son, and you know, basically saying goodnight, and he's got to go to work or whatever. And then his dad disappears, and it fast forwards 20 years, and it shows like the business that Jeff Bridges started just blew up and did all this crazy stuff. And you kind of get a little backstory about why the son didn't take over the company and doesn't want to. And his dad's longtime friend like stops over at his house and is like, I got this page from your dad. So Sam goes over to the arcade instead of this guy and then finds the basement. The creepy basement, and then transports himself into the grid, and basically it kind of goes on from there. To he finds his dad and finds out what happens, and then they're trying to get to the portal to get back out. And
to back up a little bit, the arcade is where Sam Flynn's dad started this whole business.
That's where the game Tron was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. I was very impressed with both sides of the universe. I was very impressed with the look of the film from both the human real life side and the grid side. They did a very good job with the look of the film on both ends, I thought.
I guess I didn't really think about it too much in terms of the human side, but the grid side was ridiculous. Like, I was super impressed with how everything looked and yeah, and like I told you earlier, the only complaint I had was how goofy the computer-animated young Jeff Bridges' face ended up looking.
But then I wrote back and said, when you think about it, it looked pretty good compared to stuff that was done only a few years ago.
Right, and it did take me half the movie to realize that it was computer-animated. I just figured they did a bunch of makeup on him and made him look younger.
Oh no, they would have to cake a lot of makeup on him to make him look that young. I mean, he looks.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that once you notice it, it's like auto-tune in music. You'll never not notice it again.
Yeah. No, I know. I notice auto-tune all the time. So
yeah, me too.
I don't think that's correct. All right, so yeah, I thought it was well done. I enjoyed it thoroughly all the way through, and I'm looking forward to the sequel, which they have indicated they are going to be starting to work on very soon.
Yeah, so I also saw that they are doing a TV miniseries that I believe is animated.
Really? Huh.
Yes. I did a lot of Wikipedia research while watching the movie. Actually.
Good for you going above and beyond the call.
Well, I really like this movie, and it made me want to go back. made me want to actually go back and watch the first Tron, which I haven't seen in probably years.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a long time either.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it and find out what we learned. The first thing that I learned is I learned early on all about the Tron world.
Now, I met a brave warrior.
Tron.
Bum, 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 Tron.
He fights for the users.
He sure does. Oh, man, he showed me things that no one had ever imagined. There are these disc battles fought in spectacular arenas and cycles that raced on ribbons of light. So radical. And together...
You built the grid.
We built a new grid for programs and users. Now, I couldn't be in there all the time, so I created a program in my own image that could think like you and me. And I called him Clue.
Codified likeness utility.
That's right. And Clue, Tron, and I, we built a system where all information was free and open.
That was a long clip, I apologize. But that pretty much pretty much sets the story up. And that's the scene that you were talking about, how the movie opens, and that's Jeff Bridges and Sam as young Sam right before his father disappears.
Yes. And I guess we learned why Alan stopped by to see Sam, which I also had talked about before, too.
I was Paige last night. Paige came from your dad's office at the arcade.
So?
That number's been disconnected for 20 years. Sam, two nights before he disappeared, he came to my house. I've cracked it, he kept saying. Now, he was talking about genetic algorithms, quantum teleportation. He said he was about to change everything. I mean, science, medicine, religion. He wouldn't have left that, Sam. He wouldn't have left you.
Well, you're the only one who still believes that. He's either dead or chilling in Costa Rica.
Here. These are the keys to the arcade. I haven't gone over there yet. I thought you should be the one.
Alan, you're acting like I'm going to find him sitting there working.
Wouldn't that be something?
Okay, I promise that's the last long clip. I was two in a row that were like 60 seconds. Anyways, going back to that scene, I thought his apartment was pretty awesome, pretty badass.
It was just a garage.
Yeah, no. But they always make those look cool in movies. You know, there's been a lot of those. Like, they could be garages, they could be apartments. They're kind of by the water, or they're always in kind of a cool location. And this one looked pretty awesome, I thought.
I agree. I will not take that away from you.
Thank you.
Let's see. We learned that his dad really isn't his dad.
Okay, let me learn what I learned, or talk about what I learned first.
Oh, whoops! I skipped you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dave.
I'm disappointed. All right, so
I'm really sorry.
We learned a little something about the disc that they wear and throw around.
I was Paige last night. Paige came
or not?
Attention, program. You will receive an identity disc. Everything you do or learn will be imprinted on this disc. If you lose your disc or fail to follow commands, you will be subject to immediate de-resolution.
Marion complete. Disc activated and synchronized. Proceed to games.
Games.
Okay, I gotta stop for a second and talk about the girls in that scene. They were two really, really attractive young women, and for some reason, they both had the same kind of voice. It was kind of digitized.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that was hot to me. That seemed really hot.
You know, and I thought they were fairly attractive, and then I IMDb'd the one that shows up later. I can't think of her name. Hideous in real life.
Really?
Not attractive at all. I was very disappointed.
Well, okay, going to the very, fast forwarding all the way to the very end of the film, when you see Cora in the light of day, when you see Cora in natural light, in the real world light, she looks less attractive, although she's still very, very cute. It's just that all that light that they wore on their clothes, and the light surrounding them kind of made them look more attractive than they actually were.
Well, I'm sure there was a whole lot more to it than just the lighting.
Yeah, that's true.
I know what you're saying.
Okay, now it's your turn.
We learned that his dad really isn't his dad.
All right.
You were trapped in here.
That's right.
And you're in charge.
All right, again. Two for two.
So can we just go home now?
Not in the cards. Not for you.
That's a hell of a way to treat your son.
I'm not your father, Sam. But I'm very, very happy to see him.
Yes, it was Clue. Sam had no idea that was not his dad.
Which I, you know, and obviously as the watcher, I didn't realize it till after he said it was Clue, but I just thought Jeff Bridges turned into a dick.
Well, couldn't you tell by his look, or wouldn't you be able to figure out by his look that he looked a lot younger? That wouldn't be his dad.
No, but I thought maybe in The Grid you didn't age like you did in real world.
No, that's possible too. All right, where are we? I lost my spot. Okay, we learned why Flynn disappeared when Sam was young. I think this is the clip right here.
I tried to get back, but I couldn't get to the portal. It uses massive power and it can't stay open forever. And like a safe, it can only be opened from the outside. It closed on me, Sam. That's why I never came home.
Okay, is it me, or ever since The Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges does the same character? He does that West Coast surfy or surf hippie kind of sound.
That was something I wanted to mention. When they're like right at the end, when they're flying, or Sam jumps off the tower after he grabs his disc and flies down, and they show a shot of Jeff Bridges, and he just goes, "Radical." I was like, "Oh, I didn't know the dude was in this movie."
Yeah, I know. Ever since I watched The Big Lebowski, which was for the first time not so long ago, maybe a couple months ago, I had never seen it until recently. The dude, he is the dude to me. Every time that I see him, he is the dude.
Right, which is not a bad thing, I guess. But,
no, it's good to be the dude.
The dude was a very memorable character.
All right. So
I guess it's my turn now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to push you. I mean, sometimes it's hard to...
No, I'm just... Dave, settle down. We learned what Cora was.
Okay.
She's an ISO.
Yeah, the last ISO.
All this time, you were just protecting her.
She's the miracle, man. Everything I ever worked for. A digital frontier to reshape the human condition.
I always thought that was just a plug line.
In our world, she could change everything.
Okay, an ISO was these... If you didn't watch the movie, if you're just tuning into the podcast, have never seen this movie, an ISO are beings that were created just out of the grid itself. They were naturally occurring beings, as opposed to everybody else in the grid, which were programs, pre-programmed when the grid was created. Am I correct by saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they just kind of randomly generated from what I read.
Okay. All right. So one last thing that we learned. We learned why Clue was so pissed off at Flynn, the older Flynn, the Jeff Bridges Flynn. This is why he was so pissed off.
I did everything! Everything you ever asked!
I know you did.
I executed the plan!
As you saw it.
You promised that we would change the world together. You broke your promise.
I know. I understand that now.
I took the system to its maximum potential. I created the perfect system.
The thing about perfection is that it's unknowable. It's impossible, but it's also right in front of us all the time. You wouldn't know that because I didn't when I created you. I'm sorry.
Okay, that is the last thing that we are going to talk about as far as our observations. But I did want to talk about a couple things that I thought looked very Star Wars-ish, if that's the right way of saying it.
Okay.
Okay. Did you notice that when they were at the very end escaping from Clue and trying to get to the portal, that that scene in the ship was very much like the gang getting in the Millennium Falcon and escaping from the Death Star?
Yeah, I mean, it's harder for me to, because I think I've seen Star Wars once years and years and years ago, but yeah, that you mention it, it makes sense because Luke Skywalker jumps down and gets into the turret, whereas here it just, his seat just kind of turns around and moves to the back.
Yeah, and even before that, even before they got on the ship, how Flynn, Jeff Bridges' character, he manipulated that guard by messing with his disc. And made him, that reminded me of using the Force to get their way in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I just, when it happened, I didn't really think twice about it because of the fact that he was the creator. So why wouldn't he be able to do stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. That was just two things that I noticed. There might have been a couple more, but I always like to, I don't always like to, but it always seems like comparisons to other movies and other franchises kind of, come to bear from time
yeah,
to time.
But I mean, does that really surprise you? I mean, Star Wars is like the,
Okay. All right. Are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you sitting comfortably?
I am.
All right. Here we go. This is the part of the podcast where we find out how much you learn from watching it. As Matt is stretching, he's getting his game face on. And feel free to play along at home. You won't win anything with correct answers, but hey, it's fun.
I don't win anything, and yeah. I'm part of this thing.
Exactly. As always, I have to turn this down. It's super loud. All right. Okay. Okay, here we go. Question number one. What brand of motorcycle was Sam driving at the beginning of the film? What brand of motorcycle was Sam driving at the beginning of the film? This is multiple choice.
I know the answer.
Okay, let me... Since I did the work on this, let me just humor me. Okay, man?
Fine. I was really excited that I knew the answer.
Okay. A, Ducati. B, Harley-Davidson. Or C, Honda.
It is a Ducati.
Oh, by the way, we're using video game sound effects in honor of Tron this week.
That's awesome.
You were wondering. All right. So yeah, Ducati was it was prominently featured, and I think they probably got some money from Ducati.
Oh, guaranteed, because they mentioned it more than once.
And they showed the logo more than once too.
Multiple times.
And one like blatant like Ducati right in your face.
Yeah, right away at the beginning of the movie, actually.
Yep. All right, so there was a map on the wall of the workshop underneath the arcade. What was the map of? There was a map on the wall of the workshop underneath the arcade. What was the map of, Matt?
Is it multiple choice?
No.
Okay, there was a map of the grid.
Good job.
Thank you.
I think those might be the two easiest questions in this quiz.
Oh, dang it. I just thought I was on a roll.
Well, who knows? The roll might continue. Let's find out. Question number three. Sam was what number combatant when he first fought on the grid? When he first arrived on the grid and he was fighting, what number combatant was he? And this is multiple choice.
Okay.
A, 5, B, 7, or C, 3. 5, 7, or 3?
I'm going with 3.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean? Why do I say 3?
Do you remember them saying 3?
The first two numbers I thought of were 3 and 6, and you gave me the option of 3 and not 6, so I'm going with 3.
You chose correctly.
Thank you.
You chose wisely. All right. What? You chose wisely. What is that from?
I can hear it.
It's either from a video game or a classic movie. Oh, it's from
Indiana Jones.
Yes, thank you. I had it on the tip of my tongue. It was right there.
Yes.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay, moving on to question 4. What name did Clue call Sam? Okay, let me back up. What name did Clue call Sam Flynn and others from the outside world? What name did Clue call Sam Flynn and others from the outside world?
A user.
Holy crap, man. You might sweep this.
How many questions are left?
Let's see. That was
4.
That was 4. So 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, wow. All right.
So you're well on your way to total victory.
Sweet.
But you might screw up and get all the rest of them wrong.
Hey, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Well, I'm just being realistic. I'm just saying it's possible that could happen.
No, it's very possible, but don't be a dick.
Okay, I won't. I'll try not to. Question 5. What was the thing that Clue wanted from Flynn? What was the thing that Clue wanted from Flynn? And this is originally a multiple choice, but I'm thinking about just making it a straight-out answer.
Yeah, no, we're talking about old Flynn, right? Not young Flynn?
Yes.
Yeah, he wanted his disc.
Final answer?
Yes.
Holy crap, Matt!
I did make sure that I really pronounced the S in disc.
Good call. Very good call. All right. Question 6. What was the name of the person Sam had to find to get out of the grid? The one guy he was looking for? Was it A, Prometheus, B, Zeus, or C, Apollo? Prometheus, Zeus, or Apollo? What's the name of the guy that Sam had to find his way out of the grid to the portal thing?
It was Zeus.
Are you positive?
100% positive.
I'm starting to get sick of this song.
Never.
Damn, dude, you are just I was going to say eating it up. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm just destroying it.
Destroying it. There you go. All right, question 7. We're going to end this podcast sooner than we usually do, because you're whipping through these so fast.
Sorry, I paid attention to the movie.
Well, I think this really proves a point that when you like the film, you remember things more.
Yes, I agree.
When you're not sitting there going, oh, God, when's this thing going to end?
Checking the time.
Yeah. All right, so question 7. What was the technology that Flynn, this is older Flynn, what was the technology that Flynn thought up himself in 1985?
Wi-Fi.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Dude. All right. I want you to get just at least one wrong, just for the sake of getting it something wrong.
You can play the wrong music even if I get this next one right, okay?
All right.
But then you have to tell me I got it right.
Okay, I can't just lie to you?
No, I don't like being lied to.
Okay, all right. All right, question 8. When Sam and his father were trying to get to the portal, who did they run into that was supposed to be dead? When Sam and his father were trying to get to the portal, Sam, father, and what's the chick's name?
Cora. Is this question pertaining to when they're on the bridge?
No, it's before they got to the bridge.
So while they're flying?
No. No, hang on one second. I'm trying to think of what scene this was.
Because there's two people that I can think of.
Yeah, it was one of the two people that was chasing them in their ship. And it wasn't, What's his name? It wasn't Clue. It was the other person.
Oh, Tron.
Final answer?
Yeah, it's my final answer. Did I get it wrong? Did I really get it wrong?
No, you got it right.
Oh. That's why I was like, because I know they run into Clue around. They're trying to get...
What? Can't hear you. It's too loud. All right, final question. If you get this, this is going to be the first time that you'll have ever have swept all of them, gotten all of them right.
All right.
This might make you nervous because this has never happened before. I'd be nervous if I were you.
A little nervous, but I'm confident.
All right. Final question. Final question. What was Tron's last words before crashing his ship into Clue's? What was Tron's last words before crashing his ship into Clue's? This is multiple choice. Maybe I shouldn't make it multiple choice.
Right. I, if you don't want to make multiple choice, I know the gist of what he says, but I don't know the specific wording.
Okay. A, I fight for the users. B, I do this for Flynn. Or C, end game.
A, I fight for the users.
I fight for the users is correct, and you got all the questions correct.
Perfect fireworks.
Now, if this is the last podcast we do before your wedding, you're going to be going out with a bang here.
Yes, sir.
But this may not be the last one.
No, I'd like to try and do one next week, but make no promises.
Okay. But good job, man. Congratulations. You got all of them right.
Hey, I actually really liked this movie. The ending kind of sucked because it just stopped. I mean, I shouldn't say it just stopped, but yeah.
Well, no, I'm going to argue with you on this point. It stops at a point where it goes back to something that was talked about earlier in the film. That is Korra seeing the sunrise or sunset or just the sun.
Yeah, so it didn't have a bad ending. It was just kind of like, oh, that's the end.
Well, what more would there be? They got away from...
They professed their love for each other, because we all know that's where it was going. They did not verbally profess their love, but there was hints there.
Okay, let's talk about Korra for a second. How is it that she is able to live out in the real world?
I don't know, that's a good question. The other thing that bothered me was how is she... Because at the end, the last scene is she buries her face in his back, and she's got that, I'm a girl, I like you kind of face.
Yeah.
How is that possible? She's a program. They don't know how to feel.
Well, you don't know, because they were a natural development of the grid.
Not only that, but I guess I'll argue with myself. They never clearly stated that the programs can't feel.
That's true. That's very true. Maybe the reason that she can exist in our world is something in the way that we can exist in the grid. You know? How are humans able to occupy that space? So maybe it works the opposite direction for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know. Everything's kind of left open ended. I don't know. It was a good movie. I'm gonna leave it at that. I liked it. I would go see the next one.
Leaving things open, perfect for a sequel, and I think that's what they're gonna plan on doing.
I might even buy this movie on 3D.
That's right. You got a 3D TV, don't you?
Yeah, I have a date with Batman in 3D when this is on.
This would be the perfect movie for 3D. You know, there's always that argument like whether they should make movies, every movie in 3D, or make movies that show off the 3D. This is a movie that would show off 3D.
And that's kind of why, because there's no blatant like being able to see something and saying, "Oh, that's in 3D," and that's in 3D, and because, like, I bought The Final Destination in 3D. And there's, you, when you watch it, just regular on Blu-ray, there's, like, stuff coming at the screen. And you're like, well, that's going to be in 3D. It's kind of a giveaway. So I'd be curious to see what Tron does, because there's really no blatant, like, item flying directly at screen. So I feel like it would be a lot more, like, stuff going past your head on the sides and stuff. So it might be a little more impressive.
I think the scenes, the fighting scenes and the race scenes with
the, yes,
with
in the when they're the disc,
yeah,
would probably be pretty sweet too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's talk about our favorite parts and observations. What I thought was cool about this movie, and we talked about this this irking you, but I thought it was cool how they made Jeff Bridges look younger. And I believe they use the same technology in Captain America, making Captain America look small, because the actor who plays Captain America is a scrawny kid before he becomes Captain America, but it's the same actor. And I think this is basically the same technology.
And I didn't see Captain America. It's on my list of movies to see.
I have not yet seen it either, so.
So I didn't even know. I mean, I knew he was scrawny, yada, yada, all that stuff. But, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and move this to the top of my Netflix.
Sweet. All right. My favorite parts were the use of old computer game sounds in the movie and when a program would crash, how it would either fall apart or melt. Those were two of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was fun, how, like, things happened. And, like, when Korra's arm gets cut off, it just, like, beep.
Yeah. Or when Sam first arrives, he's talking to those people in that, whatever that was, that lift or that vehicle. And
yeah.
The guy's face is partly all digitized.
Yep.
That was cool.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool things. My favorite being, and I had to think about it because for like a split second while I was watching it, I was like, wow, this looks really nice on DVD. And then I realized that it was Netflix and they stream in HD. But it just, the movie on a whole looked so clean.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Well, I should say everything in the grid looked very clean
and
crisp. And it was very impressive.
Well, I think that's pretty easy to do when you're shooting everything computer generated, kind of like Avatar looks very nice because it's all made by computers.
Yeah, it's basically all or nothing. I mean, was anything shot with real actors? Was it more so?
No, there was real actors. I mean, there's real actors. I mean,
but what I'm saying is, like, when they were doing the bike scenes and all that stuff, was there a person at all, or was it just a 100% computer animated scene?
Well, I think it was all computer generated until they showed faces. And I think fake.
Well, they could probably just slap a face in there, but I mean, obviously, I know, like, for the scenes of talking and walking and stuff like that, there was real people. But
yeah,
some of the more computer animated heavy things were. It was hard to tell if the people were animated or not.
Well, you can't really fake a face. That's one thing that if you see a computer generated face, you know it's fake when you see it.
Yeah, like with the with Clue's face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think you could never get around that.
No, it's just I think the human face moves so naturally that computers can't quite do that yet.
Yeah, and then there's the look of the eye. There's that kind of that soul looking into the soul of the person. You can't fake that either.
No.
All right. So, what was your favorite parts of this film?
I guess I don't really think it had a favorite part. There was a lot of parts that I thought were cool, the way things were done. Probably when they would, like, run and jump and turn into the cycles and the planes and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool because it showed just, like, how futuristic the grid itself was.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like you just have this little stick and then you pull it apart and it turns into basically whatever you want it to be.
Yeah,
either a light cycle or a light ship.
I wonder if that has to do with the way you program it. Like if you have to have the stick programmed in a certain way that it actually turns into this or that.
I don't know, because Clue turns it into a light cycle and a plane.
No, he did?
He doesn't. No, I'm wrong. It's Tron that's in the cycle, right? Or do you not know it's Tron at that time? I don't, whatever, Dave. I'm going to go with it's more so like you make a choice when you're pulling it apart. And because you're a program, it reads what you want it to be.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll go with that.
All right. I'm just making up parts to movies now.
you're creating things that we're not really sure about.
So do you remember the scene where they're all eating dinner and Tron was there and Jesus showed up and then Santa Claus came?
That's the best part ever.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. And we're probably going to go from a really kick-ass movie to a really crappy movie because I have no idea what this one's all about. I saw it on Netflix, and we're kind of running out of science fiction on Netflix, so this was my best choice, I thought. 2010 movie, Zenith, another new one, but I get a feeling it's low budget. I just have this feeling. I have no grounds for it, but I just have it. I just got this gut feeling that this is going to be a bad, cheesy movie.
What gives it away? The fact that it's named after like 1990s stereo equipment?
That is highly possible, but I'm sure Zenith means something in the film, and we're going to find that out after watching it. It's currently on Netflix. It's about a hellish future where human beings have become stupefied by the state of permanent happiness, which I kind of wish I had sometimes.
Right?
They have been genetically altered to experience. Jack offers relief via drugs that cause his customers the welcome phenomenon of pain. So it seems intriguing, and we'll see what it's all about next week.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So how do people get a hold of us if they want to bitch us out for the comment that you made earlier about women?
Oh, man. If you want to yell at me for the things that I say, the email that we had said, galacticnetcasts@gmail, a voicemail at 805-328-3966. We're on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter at galacticnetcast. No S on the end.
All right. GalacticNetcasts.com is the website, and make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a 5-star review rating on iTunes, but please don't mention the bad things on the review because we want more subscribers. Leave that to the email feedback or to Twitter or Facebook or Google+.
I promise I will not try it and change. You can't tell me what to do.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it. We're just hanging up right now.
All right. If I was on the grid, I'd be able to kick your ass right now with one of those discs.
Yep. You would throw a disc at my head, and I would turn into digital water.
And see. This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.